Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. I'm Talk Dude. At least that's what they call me on this show. Now, you know what? Your whole life, basically, you hear it just be yourself. For a lot of people, that doesn't work. Okay, for most. We try to be someone else. We try to be somebody better. We all try to basically put on some kind of mask so nobody finds out who we are and what we are. What's that old saying? Normal is what everyone is until you get to know them. I once basically knew this girl. I spent more time with her than I cared to. She said, "I wish you were more normal." I told her that line, and I was thinking, I wish she was less weird, less... This girl was screwed. She was messed up. Dude, have you ever basically known somebody like that? You sort of met somebody, seemed interesting and colorful right away, sort of hit it off. And then the more you found out about them, the less you felt safe. I knew I was in trouble when she started saying things to me like, when she basically literally take me to, she wanted to basically brought me to these stores, you know, a boutique. They call them that because they're just basically dresses for women. They're marginally priced and colorful in a way. But dear God, they're no place a guy should ever be. Even if he's in a romantic relationship. Honey, look, I know you want your guy with you while you do this stuff, but he's going to want to be dragged basically with you, while you spend all your time going through shoes and dresses and jewelry. About as much as looking forward to having you make him pay for everything. The point I'm making is, I was an odd person who basically tried to spend as much of his life as he could alone. I was a little more comfortable alone in my own skin, but there were even some times when I just wished I could, you know, have the weirdest interests. Why? I was handicapped in a bad way. I developed autism from my mother and attention deficit hyperactive disorder from my father. Man got into bodybuilding so little... he could work off some of that energy. Something that's still regrettably on my to-do list. And Tourette's, I got that too. How? It all happened when I was born. I was there, I don't remember, but my mother remembered it pretty vividly. It was a way back when, at one point in time, when medical science even isn't what it is today. That's the funny thing, you know. You always hear basically people talking about every generation... talks about every generation for them is the present, but to the older generation, it's just amazing how much the world has changed. Not just who you are, not just the way you view the world, but the world itself. We're constantly progressing and evolving, aren't we? The world just seems to, every generation, it's like, whoa. And God help me, there was a time I remember when I was a child, and you know what? I got to tell you something. I was a child, and the world sort of looked the same, but looking at what we had back in technology, we were living back in the dark ages. I was born in 82, and the thing is, the internet didn't come out until 83, and even then, it was just basically the most basic whatever of, you know, it took a while for the internet to become everything. Now everybody lives by their phone. They call them cell phones now, but dude, cell phones aren't really cell phones anymore. Dude, a cell phone is a cellular telephone, a portable phone you can take with you wherever you go. You know what I'm talking about. You know, cell phones aren't cell phones anymore. Now they're little personal computers that basically control our whole lives. And that's not the worst thing in the world. You can do everything from your phone now. That's kind of cool. But you need a lock. Even you're a loving, faithful, monogamous relationship, Or you try to tell your lady friend you are. You still want there to be a lock on your phone. I know. You trust her with your life and not with your phone. The thing is, I was in a bad environment. A really bad environment. How bad? Where do I begin? Well, let me put it to you this way. Even though I was born in Clarion, Pennsylvania, I was raised in downtown Oakland. Okay, see, it's like this. My father and a bunch of other people, who are also immigrants, if you will, you know, when an immigrant comes into this country, he better have some kind of means. They all got together and had a big collaborative business. And because of that, we left Clarion and moved all the way outside of the country. Sounds nice. There are worse things. Except, well, no, it's not that I really missed our town of Clarion, Pennsylvania. Far from it. I couldn't remember it. We left when I was a few months old. The problem really was literally when we moved all the way over there, we weren't quite wealthy to do, and what could we afford? Well, basically, a fairly nice apartment, a nice building, in a particularly bad part of town. This was not a nice place. It was not a good part of town. It was not a good anything. I mean, there were worse buildings or whatever on our street, but it's not a good neighborhood. And the thing is, my mother wanted to know that I was, well, safe. And I, okay, you can't see right now, but I'm actually basically using finger quotation marks to say safe. I was not safe, but at least as long as she knew where I was. We first went to, I still have trouble telling people this because it's so embarrassing. As a child, when I was basically old and enough to basically, when I was basically a few years old, there were these other tenants in the building who watched me. As I got a little older, I remember when my mother took me to the YWCA because they had a program afterwards for the kids. It wasn't all that bad. I mean, I guess there were worse things. But then when I turned about five or so, Oakland had a Chinatown, Chinese population, Chinese district, Chinese something. And for the sake of convenience factor, my mother would basically take me, drop me off over there every single day. Remember the first day I showed up, my stuffed animal and whatever? Everything was kind of, it seemed okay enough. And I firstly, and this is when you first, this is at an age where childhood actually gets hard, at least old enough so you can remember what a trial it is. The two who ran the place, the old woman was basically the kind of woman you might basically see in a Shirley Temple movie, okay? The cruel governess who sort of ran the place, like a cliched orphanage where she beat the children. She did, literally. There were sticks around the house she would beat us with. Some of us kids would get together to conspire to fight back. We would take the sticks and throw them out the window. The husband was more of a henchman than anything else. He had a Frankenstein kind of appearance to him. They almost seemed to get together as business partners rather than, you know, husband and wife. Maybe that's just too old, but maybe they were just too old to have any passion left. One thing I noted about them is, like most of the Chinese, they had, well, the kind of basic, the number of kids that basically you'd imagine the Chinese stereotype had. Father said that basically, I know that sounds racist, but somehow the Chinese especially need to be the biggest problem to be a population problem. They had a great deal of kids. All of them were pretty much grown, except for their youngest, who was older than all of us. And they all lived in one big sort of house that was almost really that was big and spacious and kind of luxurious. They could all afford it by living there together and sharing the rent. Basically, every day, I went there. When I was old enough to basically start going to kindergarten, I went there after school. On the weekends, I went there from morning till night. Thing is, I hated it there. Now, because of my condition, maybe I would have basically been miserable almost anywhere I went. But guess what? I especially hated it here. Understand why. I told you once again, they beat the kids, and there were some kids who were there even before I was. They were slightly older than me. I was one of the younger, smaller ones. But the thing is, guess what? They were there too. And they were veterans. There was another kid that I basically met there also when I was five. I don't know if he was there before me or after me, but for a while we became best friends. Eventually, his brother joined us. And then when I had a sister, finally, when she was an infant, she liked the old woman who ran the place liked the babies. She liked the toddlers. She liked the infants. That's probably the only person who ever went there that wasn't Asian. There were many reasons I didn't like it there. I didn't like it because of the beatings. I didn't like it because, you gotta understand something, there were all these kids, all of us there, and, well, the entire 10 years, there wasn't much for us to do. Believe it or not, these people were so poor, they were probably the only culture, they were probably the last people on the planet at this point who didn't have cable. I'm not sure they had a VCR either. Looking back, it seems especially ancient. What did I do? Whatever I was told. I told you, looking back, I wish I'd been built with a little more thick skin, had more of an attitude, more of a confidence, more of an arrogance about myself, like most kids that age did. But I don't know, mostly because of my condition, I didn't. My Tourette's problem of all. I had ADHD, attention deficit hyperactive disorder, and Tourette's, which basically made it so I was talking all the time or blinking or twitching, but mostly I couldn't sit still. Honestly, back then, their eldest son had the original kind of vintage old school Nintendo NES system. And every summer he would bring it over. That's right, he didn't live with them. He lived in that big house with the others, other siblings. And guess what? Here's the hilarious part. They never let me touch it. For some reason, when I was old enough to have a Game Boy of my own, I brought over there every single day, and they monopolized. They played. I remember one day I brought over, and the dang thing wore out. I thought something was wrong and faulty, but apparently I just played it one time too many. No, we all did. They never let me touch their stuff. They were always bogarting and whatever. Why do I still talk about this? Well, material. But mostly, in a weird way, I wish I could go back and turn back that clock if only I knew then what I know now. I wish I was more arrogant, more headstrong down there that originally belonged to the old woman's children. And she left them down there for us to play with. And in a way, that helped a lot. I was the last one to learn how to ride a bike because not only was I the youngest, I didn't have a bike. Not where we live. In the apartment complex, there wasn't really room to ride a bike. And, well, how do I put this? She didn't want me doing anything that was allowing me to walk out on the street. Being in that place was being like in a veal pen. It really was a messed up case. And here's the thing. I felt sorry for one kid there who went there, who basically been there more or less, how do I put this, his whole life, more so than any of their own children who weren't even living there. What do I mean? Just this. There was one kid who was there from the time he was an infant, time he was 12 or 13. Even the others who had been there from the time they were infants, see, to whatever, how old. One even told a story about how basically someone pushed him in the washing machine and closed the door. Don't worry, it wasn't on, but the point is it could have been. I was the only one there from the time I was an infant to the time I was 12 or 13 years old. Well, no, he was. Even he got to leave before I did. My mother really wanted to keep sending me there. She was so happy with the convenience of the location and the fact that it was open 7 days a week. What can I honestly say? But I was happy to leave that place. I told about the beatings that went on there, not just involving me, but even some of the smaller children. I told her about how horrible it was, and she always basically just said things like, Dane, just be nice, okay, tiptoe around them. Just tiptoe around them. Just try to do what's best, and they won't hit you. She always had every excuse in the world, just like, the oldest kid there, next to oldest, the one who wasn't actually relative, was something of a bully. He was a raging bully for obvious reasons. He was especially bitter about his whole life. he was bitter about the fact that basically he had been coming there from the time he was 12. He was bitter about the fact that he had nothing of his own. We all had some video game console or whatever. Everyone else had the NES. I was the only one who had the Sega Genesis. But he had just a Game Boy, and that's it. We all had Game Boys. That's all he had. And two cartridges. He had no father. He was deceased. His mother constantly worked, and, well, let's just say, as awful as that family was, they were closer to being a mother and father to him than maybe his own mother was. He was bitter about the fact that he was the one who was always there and so poor. One thing I was bitter about, I wish I stood up to him more. Why didn't I? What can I say? I was afraid. I was a coward. One of the worst things about life, I think, is we always basically just say, I wish I'd get a little bit older, a little bit bigger, and they wouldn't push me around anymore. But no matter who you are, life always finds some way to push you around. I remember the day when it seemed like all the ones who were older disappeared. Even the oldest. Their youngest son didn't really come by if they were related to him. And I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you something, and I mean this. He personally, he was I was the last one to leave. But he's the only one there who was basically, honestly, really, by the time he was infant, to the time he was 12, 13, maybe older, and then he left. Didn't really see him in person again. I was grateful. He was the biggest jerk of all of them. You know, the funny thing is he actually got kind of nice to me when it was just pretty much me and him. But for a while, I was kind of the alpha leader. There was just me, these two kids who basically were there from about the time that were just like littler ones, about the age I was when I first got there, and some infants and toddlers. They were too old to handle the older kids, and even they stopped coming because, once again, it wasn't really a place. There wasn't really a place for really kids to do there. I went there so long, it was starting to get me embarrassing. We lived in Oakland. My mother worked in Oakland. I went to school in Oakland. It was so convenient. And at one point, I had to go to a special needs program because I was so damn handicapped. Funny thing, true story, when I was really little, I was especially good at math. I don't know, it just seemed to be kind of a natural thing or whatever, but as I started to get older, it all just slipped away. You ever know somebody like that? Somebody who basically at one point had the cutest little physique, and then, damn, what happened? There's something terrible about having a special gift, and then it's gone, and then I couldn't, it was everything. I couldn't sit still. I couldn't pay attention. Somehow it just got worse. Here's where the story gets especially cruel. It was third grade. I left. Where did I go? I went to pretty much the only place that we could afford that would accommodate. And this is the kind of school, I went to another school, and the kind of school that, well, if you looked at it, really shouldn't exist, and no longer does. You see, nowadays they have really special programs. They have something a little bit different than that. That they have these sort of places where, okay, they've had school for kids who happen to be damaged or defective or underachievers. But now, see, they actually segregate them properly. I mean, if you actually go down nowadays to public schools, they actually have, usually there's some place tucked away where they have some kind of special place for all the screw-ups and the derelicts, the defectives, the psychos. Back then, you had to be able to afford to go to a place like that. Guess what? It wasn't open to the general public. My problem was I was autistic. I had ADHD and I had Tourette's. And I was sent to a school where not everybody else did, Well, there were a few cases like that. I mean, nobody had as many defects as I had, but basically, once again, it was like that Santa Claus special. No. It's like that Frosty. No. It was actually like the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer special. Remember the Isle of Broken Toys? That's what it was like. Everybody there was a broken toy, except they're all broken a different way. One girl was obnoxious and temperamental, very psychotic and cruel. One was a crybaby, threw tantrums when she didn't get away. One, he was the oldest, and he acted like he was the youngest. He had this sort of state where he acted like he was six. He was the oldest, and he acted like he was the youngest. Another one was basically just seemed to be slow, retarded, and somehow have Tourette's as well. There are a few other autistics. Now, some of you might basically be thinking, well, that's okay. I mean, people shouldn't segregate. You get it. Life needs to be like a big melting pot. Isn't that what America was founded upon? Okay, it was founded pretty much on the idea, let's get away from England so we can colonize something else, so we can, you know, congregate, segregate, mostly, and whatever. But it was also based on the idea that everything needs to blend. But it didn't really work there. You got to separate things properly. Things need to be separated. Putting everyone in the same roof didn't work. How do I know? It didn't. That's why that school doesn't exist anymore. Let me tell you something. Once again, it was a bad environment. I couldn't pay attention. I was squirming. And I talked too much. There was one who was always stirring up the pot. There's another one who, God, he was a little baby. I mean, not once again, he was the oldest, but he repeated everything he heard. He was, okay, what is my point with all this? Just this. I was in places like that from the time I was in elementary school to the time pretty much I graduated high school. Okay, people need to hear this right now, okay? I know maybe in a way, I don't know if this still applies, but maybe you still need to hear it. Throwing everything in the same bag doesn't work. There is no skeleton key that's going to work on everything. People are different. You got to treat them differently. Oh, I pretty much want to say something. Now, people in school knew who I was. I basically literally have even this, saw the same certificates I got for being a school sort of school overachiever. Not class overachiever. School overachiever. Not because I'm so precocious, because that's how screwed up everybody else there was. And I guess I made some good friends. You know what? Let's be honest here. Did I really accomplish much? The funny thing is, even when I was at that school, I don't know, I always got the weird feeling that basically that all this was wrong. They had a structural development where basically it was designed that so nobody brought in anything outside. You had to buy the school lunch. Everybody got the same thing, whatever, and everybody was, either everybody could be participate or no one could. Sounds kind of unifying, but once again, there was this weird, ugly, creepy-looking little psycho who, man, this guy was trouble. He was hyperactive. He bullied. He was an obnoxious pest. But I knew he did it, basically, not just because he was miserable, but just to make friends. I know you're thinking, dude, come on, everybody has known somebody like that. No, but this one was really bad. That's why he was there. Like, bad, bad. He had a creepy infatuation with me. I mean, I know I am very attractive, but, okay, let's be honest, this guy was just desperate for friends. Thing is, I kept trying to cut this guy off, this everything, this whatever. You know, I still resented the fact that I went to this place, and that school doesn't exist anymore. Now they actually have schools where basically they don't take all the defectives and throw them all together because of how they're defective. They don't just sit back and let it slide, because let me tell you something, this psycho, he did a lot of script stuff. He never got in any real trouble. I kept wondering, why won't they actually really punish this kid for all the creepy stuff he was doing? And then somebody explained it to me very simple.
dude?
If he was well, he wouldn't be here. It's like in prison, you know. Do you think they punish people for shanking somebody, buddy, raping them in the shower, or the beatings and molestings, being stabbed? What, you think they don't punish them for that? You know why? That's why they're here. And did you know, as a kid, I used to wonder something. I said one of the stuff in prison was exaggerated, but why does everybody bother to stab and rape and torture each other in prison? You know, if everybody could basically just sit back and stop turning each other, and everyone could just try to get along and whatnot, couldn't it all work out? Remember, I want to say the same thing to the kids. Can we stop doing this to each other? And, of course, they attacked me. They gave me a pretty good pounding that day. Why wouldn't they? Look, dude, come on. You start spouting a bunch of peace and hippie crap in front of kids, telling somebody that what they're doing isn't very nice, you will be killed. My mother really didn't help. My mother used to scream at me every day for being picked on, for being attacked, whatever. She couldn't mentally comprehend the fact that not only kids are like this, but that kids at that program especially were like this. When I told him basically what this bully who was trying to be my friend was trying to be was like, you know, that's why I'm not mad at him anymore. Everything he did, he did. I mean, he wouldn't have done all that if he didn't like me. I kept saying he did it because I was an easy target, but no, he really wanted to be my friend. I kept trying to say goodbye to the guy, whatever. But he stuck to me like a barnacle. Why? I am very captivating. But once again, if you really saw this school, you got to realize there were like 9-10 kids in each class and like 3 teachers. I mean, it's not like there's a big, you know, huge, general, overwhelming population of other kids he could afford to pick from. They say that basically the definition of not insanity, but stupidity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Probably because of my autism. I know in event, every single day I would tell her about maulings. The one at this school, the wrong school, the school I shouldn't have been in. It's funny, I didn't get to pick my elementary school, but my junior high / high school. There were 2 choices to pick from, and I picked one that at the time seemed to be the least horrible. And the weird thing is that maybe it was, but it was kind of like saying being slapped in the face is better than being gouged in the eyes or having your groin snapped. You know, it's funny, every generation wants to say we had it right, ours was the best, but every kid basically, every child says, I'm glad I'm a kid now. I'll bet. Every generation had it better than the earlier ones. But you know something? I do want to be a kid now. But more than that, I wish I could go back and tell myself now what to do. In the end, wish I could have tried to make a few more friends. Not reacted so much when the obnoxious bullies would harass me. I've known better ways to keep my Tourette's under control. It's 9:30 exactly here on the program. Please, call in. Get involved with the cause. We're basically here. We're at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. I used to kind of wish I could be an adult for a lot of reasons. I could keep to myself. I could be free to enjoy my weird interests. And I didn't want to cry so much. I don't know why I cried so much. I guess you want to be a little kid and get, in a way, you know, you got to get that out of your system because the moment you enter first grade, you got to start acting a little older than you are. You got to start acting a lot tougher than you are. You got to start dressing in a way where basically, what's the style? So many things can get you killed. There's a reason the Ninja Turtles and the Power Rangers were so popular. There was something about color-coded products, you know? Everything being more or less the same. Why do kids love the Ninja Turtles? Why do they still do? They all look the same. The only difference is their weapons and the color bandana. They all used to dress in red, like Raphael, but then they all basically decided to, let's distinguish them the slightest bit. Being faceless, being just like everybody else. That's the safest thing, isn't it? I wanted to be left alone. I wanted to be, I don't know, whatever. I wanted to basically, I don't want to cry. I wasn't the kind of guy who wanted to go around looking for trouble, you know. See, what if like a samurai, you know? You can kick some ass. You don't go around looking for ass to kick. You wait until that kicking comes to you, and then your ass kicks back. Crushes that motherfucker. I don't want to cry over anything. I didn't want to be weaker. Something about what I was just drove me nuts. Weird interests, hyperactive. I remember one time I went to this get-together with a bunch of my father's friends. They had kids, and we all started to talk and whatever. I need to learn not to get so offended. Kids were obnoxious and rude to each other, and that's cool. Whatever. I used a defense mechanism to fight back rather than a way to bond. I took everything too personally. I just felt too much. I obsessed over stuff. Whenever someone would say something, I believe it. But you know what? Here's the funny part. No, you know what? It's not funny. Once again, my hyperactive Tourette's acted up in there. They asked what was wrong with me. What was I doing? I tried to hold it in, but I got to tell you something. Guys, it's like holding in a sneeze and holding in gas. You know what happens when you do that? You ever tried? Funny thing, everybody farts. But you remember when you were a kid and we had this weird game, basically, and we were all with kids. Look, you weren't allowed to fart. If you farted, you broke wind somehow. It's funny. Just yesterday, when you were a baby, you were allowed to crap and piss in your pants and your diapers. It's cool. That was cool. But now today, not only are you not allowed to do that, the other kids at school will kill you for that. They found you got poor bowel and bladder problems. If you're the kind of kid who craps your pants, you know, if you crap your pants one time because you had diarrhea, you crap your pants because you got food poisoning. Crap pants, what am I saying? If you so much as stand too close to the urinal, some of the piss flew back and hit the crotch of your pants. If you tore the back of your pants, I'm not talking with gas, farts, or whatever. I'm talking just in general. The other kids will kill you. They will eat you alive for that. One of the weirdest things, basically, is too much of life is like prison. Lock them all up, let them turn on each other. I believe in comedy. I like the attitude. I was always looking for basically the right kind of personality to adapt. I wanted to take a white mask and put it over my face. I wanted to become somebody else, you know. Bruce Lee talks all about this. Finding a successful personality and duplicating is not the answer. They said be myself, and you know what? Myself is just the one person. I don't want to be me. I think I got too offended too easily in life. I think I got too, well, anything, really. I remember one day when I got tired of all the mumbling and ticking, all that whatever, and I said this was the last time I was ever going to do it. I was in my friend's room. He was a friend of my father was friends with the boy's parents, and then we became friends by default. He's a good guy. Now he's out of college. Now he basically has a doctorate, and he's married now. But before he ever entered school, I was in his bedroom as a child saying, you know what, this is the last, I'm going to do this one last time. I'm never doing this again. No more hyperactivity. No more Tourette's. No more weird mumbling and expressing every single thought out loud. I didn't even talk to myself. I was expressing every single thought because I couldn't keep that shit bottled up. Lo and behold, it didn't last. Thankfully, I've found ways to basically deal with my condition nowadays. I wanted to go to someplace else where I could just start over. I know I was in bad environments, but there were good things to it. I don't know. I basically tried to make comedy work for me. I made a point to express myself verbally, always speak my mind wherever I was. So at least by holding it in, I wasn't going to explode. First of all, I once used to think if I was an adult, I could just get to be me. You never really get to be you, do you? If you remember what you were like as a kid, you spent a lot of your time trying to blend in so the other kids wouldn't just like you, so they wouldn't see that you were different or weak, so they wouldn't beat the crap out of you. When an adult, you think it's going to change somewhat. Not enough. Okay, this time if you actually crap your pants, well, now it's a little bit more of a problem, but the whole world isn't going to be all over you for it. I don't know why I'm talking so much about crapping. I guess it's a funny topic. But also, speaking of which, I had leaky gut syndrome. Yeah, that's right, it's true. Another condition that I inherited. God, I'm on telephone all by myself. I was a choosy eater. Because of my leaky gut, didn't matter what I ate, it just went right through me right away. The thing is, as a kid, I wish I was more tougher, more arrogant, more headstrong. You know what? I was afraid of being touched. I was afraid of the slightest bit of when somebody would grab a hold of me, and kids like to wrestle and rustle, roll around, and basically touch each other, whatever. I reacted too much to it. I did. I mean, because the thing is, autistics don't like physical contact. And because of my ADHD, I panic with hypersensitivity. I always felt pain too much more. I had too many defects. It's like some bizarre force was like, and all the evils start to feed each other. Something out there was trying to kill me. Why was I born with so many birth defects? Both my parents have their strong points, but I seem to inherit the worst from both of them. Comedy was the only answer. No, it's funny. My uncle, not by blood, well, ex-uncle, you should know that he and my, yes, biological aunt divorced. He was rich, born in the wealth. I used to think it was both of them having quality money they brought to the table, but nope, he was the only one that was rich. You know what really got to me? He came into wealth and power. Some people are born with the silver spoon. And some, it just basically, that silver turns to gold. And then becomes bejeweled and just keeps going and going and going. And I envied that. We all want more money, but I used to think if I just had more money, I could, when you got more money, not like you get whatever you want. It's more than that, dude. The world tends to overlook all those little disadvantages you might have. You need to be whoever you wanted to be. What kind of partially drove me personally insane was that, I don't know, my whole life, it was just a little less severe. A little less. Whether it was finally leaving Oakland, California, and crossing over to Alameda on the island, having a room where basically I had a lot more space to roam, to being able to go out, to basically, in a way, playing the system, becoming popular when I was in high school. To trying to find a way to work out the ADHD and hyperactivity. I guess what really gets to me is the fact that I like to think that through this show, I'm going to tell you everything about me, my story, and what it's like to live with this horrible handicap, and what it's like to basically try to beat the disease. This is not meant to basically add to the sob story, but just know this. My mother's in a wheelchair now. That's just it. She's sick with MS, the illness that got Richard Pryor. You know, it's funny. No, it's not. At first, she just got tired and was acting a little bit more feeble. She just seemed to be more weary and irritable. Then she needed a cane, then a walker, then a manual wheelchair, then a really heavy-duty wheelchair. See, the thing, and now she lost the use of one of her hands, and literally she has an executive stress ball, so her hand clawing up, she doesn't squeeze in there, and her nails don't puncture her skin. That's horrible. I mean, but that's the thing about every condition, every illness, every ailment, every problem. It gets worse unless you make it better. Problems in life get worse unless you make them better. That's life's way of telling you to beat the disease. I don't know. A lot of days, I always ask myself what I would do differently. Lots of stuff. I always know what I would, but the messed up thing is what I really do is there are things that I wish they did differently also. I wish that the kind of schools for enough people with the illness existed now. I wish that I wish really that my medication existed now. What am I saying? It still doesn't. Okay, folks, you need to know something. I'm on several medications, and most of them do about as much as, well, basically taking a few Pez would do. Not really. I like to believe the medication helps. I like to believe it. But if so, it's not enough. I have a doctor now who basically, the kind of doctor who basically just literally, truly, his diagnosis is, let's up your dosage a little bit. Good people. When you have a horrible condition that is so bad you wish it was life-threatening, and it makes everything in your life, well, basically not an option, you don't want to ease it. You don't want to dilute it. You don't even want a nice little drunk feeling that basically makes everything feel a little rosy. You want to get rid of the problem altogether. Where's the cure? Dude, I know they say you can't joke about HIV, but if they haven't cured it by now, I think if you want people need to get it, you know, once, look, pretty soon, they're going to cure that. Tourette's. It's the biggest problem of all. Tourette's. It's like this, man. When my mother had me, I was turned around. I was stuck. And the doctor went in there and used forceps to pull me out. You notice how I strained on that syllable? That's just it. She didn't just pull me out. She pulled me out. And in doing so, she damaged the frontal lobe. That's why I have Tourette's. I mean, I'm not going to pretend that I would have had a clean bill of health if she hadn't done that, but believe me, she made it worse. I know even the kind of doctors who are basically world famous, get the Nobel Prize for medicine, aren't going to get it right 100 times out of 100. But she really did screw me up. And there's something about a disease this bad you have to live with. I wish it was a disease. I wish I could run around and spread it and make people catch it. When you're kids, somehow you have this dark age way of thinking. You think it's like, you think it's like chicken pox. You can get it just by touching somebody. I wish I would have gone around infecting kids like crazy. But nope. Can't pass it on. Can't lose it either. I guess the only way you can really pass it on to somebody is you take a sledgehammer to their skull. Man, I did everything. I used to basically have little cuts on my fingers from digging my fingernails in there. I had these cavities grinding from the stress grinding and whatever. You're hyper, and your head, something inside your head, it's like basically a surge protector. All those wires somehow, and some little rodent just chewed through the wires, and now there's just sparks flying off. I've gotten very good at finding ways to deal with it, but not good enough. I chewed gum. I tried talking to people until I was exhausted. I was surprised to find out yoga and exercise would help. One thing that people always found antagonizing, the thing I did was restless leg syndrome. You know what that is? Restless leg syndrome. Restless leg syndrome. Restless leg. What is restless leg syndrome? Well, you can pretty much tell what it is just from the sound of it. It's the opposite of leg paralysis. That means basically you're going to be stuck in a wheelchair or whatever. Restless leg means your legs won't stop moving. And they wouldn't. I was constantly pacing around wherever I went. You know, it's funny. When you get older, they really do take offense to it. But even when I was a kid, they're wondering, why are you just walking around everywhere? So I couldn't stop moving. The legs wouldn't stop. To those of you who basically might have afflicted condition, I know nowadays they have more, better, whatever, but you know what? There are ways. Yoga, a lot of time spent in the lotus position. A lot of ginseng, acupuncture. You know, I complain that basically a lot of these treatment, this medication stuff is worthless, but that's the problem. I just do the medication, not doing all of it. I developed a nasty, nasty, nasty soda addiction. Then energy drinks came out. That's when I need more energy. What's it like basically having ADHD, Tourette's, yet having a soda addiction? It doesn't too much caffeine and sugar. Step away from pumping that crap directly into your veins. There's a quote that seems to be appropriate, and you know what? Angelina Jolie, she tattooed this on her arm. Because this is her mantra, and you know what? It seems to be mine, too. That which nourishes me also destroys me. This is a horrible condition and affliction to live with, but hopefully through this program, I'll be able to vent and whatever and make it work for me. Because without this, there really isn't an answer. I was never the most social person, but now we live in a time where technology's evolved so much, nobody's social anymore. Everybody texts and blogs. Nobody actually talks. I don't know. Suffice to say, I did have some good moments. But in a way, not enough. Too many bad ones. I want to give up the bad ones, but I'm not sure how. One thing that happened to me, basically, after I finally left high school, gave up adolescence, because of my socially crippled whatever, I was most resorted to telling people funny tales, giving up art ideas, and basically being outside the mainstream. I don't know. Somebody said you're afraid of change and you need to work a little harder, a lot harder. The more damaged you are, the harder you have to work. Some days I really do wish I was anybody else. All I hear is there are people who have it worse than you. So then I say, well, probably. Are those people still alive? No, dude, understand something. Understand this. Understand. There are people who don't know how bad I do have it. I don't tell them how bad. I guess this is why shrinks exist. You get tired of basically, you want to stop with your problems, but how else do you make it worse?
That's what the show is. See, it's comedy and drama.
Laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry and you cry alone.
Drama was invented to get the rest of the world to cry with you and for you.
So what genre is this show? I don't know. I'm sure it'll become obvious eventually, but... you know. I have odd interests. I have an odd self. Funny thing, true story. Recently, I had an epiphany moment where basically I had sort of a true falling out with a real friend of mine. It didn't become official, but understand something. I knew this guy since senior high school. Now, there are people who basically knew the guy before him, but nobody knew him better than me. We did everything. We were inseparable. Thicker than thieves, deeper than blood. Once in a while, you have a relationship like that. You know what? It was the best relationship I ever had with anybody. And I honestly had some strange, weird, surrealistic way of believing in my heart of hearts, in my dream of dreams, that this relationship was going to truly, how do I put this? I thought maybe it might last to the grave. It's as close to a marriage as you can imagine. We should be together forever. You know how they joke about guys who are so close, all BFF, they're practically a couple? They must be a couple. Because, dude, it's like the kind of guys who basically have comic book superhero stuff all over their rooms. I mean, nowadays it's kind of coming to style. The geek thing is coming to style, but that's the thing, dude. Remember, way back when, there was a time when basically so a lot of the stuff you're still doing when you were a kid, it's what kids are supposed to do. You're kids. But at a certain age, it starts to get a little sad. Why did me and this guy break up? He got really messed up. He was at that school for a reason, and somehow, I don't know, he just got worse and worse. Do you guys walk away from him? I don't know, man. We seem to keep... One of the reasons we kept finding each other was because, well, I didn't go gracefully into that good night. He wanted to have other friends, newer friends. That's the thing, dude. People like me at first. They really do. But then they see the stuff of my condition. They get all creeped out. Or in a way, you know what? I don't do it. I hold it in. And then they think, what is he doing? It looks like he's having a seizure. He is. Guy a long time. Maybe I knew him long enough. Maybe I knew him too long. Maybe it's time to find a new BFF. It's funny how the greatest, basically, asset becomes the greatest liability. I know we live in a world right now where it seems like privacy is just kind of gone. People are connected now more than ever thanks to social media. I basically befriended everybody I ever went to high school with by opening my yearbook and going online. Just text. Funny thing, true story. Just doing this show just made me feel better. I told you about all this. I talked about all this. I did it. Started focusing on something that mattered. I feel relieved. I don't know. I find myself constantly, basically, full of a certain stress and anxiety. And I can't sort of make it go away. I told you. People tell you to be yourself. But what do you do when yourself is this? That's the thing. That's the thing. you sort of kind of imagine that something will just come along and make it okay. No, no, you don't. The funny thing, when you're a kid, you think, you know, we're always told to be ourselves. It doesn't necessarily work, does it? Find an outlet. I want to make new friends. Hopefully I will through this venue. I will. And we'll find something. One of the hardest things about my condition is that I became handicapped in more ways than one, even those that were truly handicapped. Even the ones who basically said, there's something wrong with that guy. And they were right. I could never focus on one thing, sit still, or be too interested in anything for too long. From attention deficit hyperactivity to autism, there were just certain things that just... What's the best advice I can give to somebody like this? Never met anybody else who really had all these conditions at once entirely. I met one person who I noticed was basically in the same sort of boat that I was. First I thought, it's weird, she's doing what I do. She had the bug. I did my best to help her until I watched people shun her like so much garbage. All of us need to unite and say this is not okay. I've gotten in trouble in places. Whatever. Please, everyone, get involved with the cause. We're here at 515-605-9709. Tune in for our next episode. You know what? Let me tell about some of the adventures that we had, some of the things that we did, some of the things that we liked to do. Ways I got by. I'm going to tell you all about it. Honestly, thank you for listening to this show. We're at 515-605-9709. It's 515-605-9709. Thank you, and good night.